Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. I know you guys are all super busy, especially if you're tuning in as a law student, so we're going to get right to the good stuff today. We're all about diving deep into the cases that matter, and trust me, the one we're tackling today, it's juicy. It's got everything. Power struggles, legal showdowns, and a healthy dose of, wait, the governor can't just do that, can he?
You're not kidding. This one goes straight to the heart of how Florida's government works.
Exactly. And that's why we're here, right? To untangle the mess and help you really understand the legal bedrock that shapes these big decisions. So buckle up, folks, as we explore the ins and outs of Martinez v. Florida legislature.
Yeah, you ready to break this one down?
Absolutely. We've got the Florida Supreme Court opinions right in front of us, all the nitty-gritty background on the case itself, and some seriously sharp legal analysis to help us make sense of it all.
We're going to pull out the most important bits and give you a clear picture of why this case is still making waves today.
Because it's not just about what happened back then. It's about the ripple effects, you know, how this case set the stage for how the executive and legislative branches in Florida still tango today.
It's like a dance, isn't it? With really high stakes.
Okay, so to understand the moves, we got to rewind a bit. We're talking June 1988.
Right. Florida's legislature, they've just hammered out their yearly budget. It's all set.
Enter Governor Bob Martinez. He's got that red pen ready, and he's not afraid to use it.
Over 150 line item vetoes? He was busy.
Yeah, but that's not even the half of it. He goes a step further and vetoes parts of 5 appropriations.
And that right there is where the fireworks really start.
Because these weren't just any old line items he was messing with. It gets tricky here. The parts he vetoed. They weren't even actually written into the official budget law.
Like, not there at all.
They were buried in these legislative intent documents. Internal memos, basically, that kind of spelled out how the legislature hoped the money would be used.
Think of them like guidelines, you know? Here's a big chunk of cash, and this is how we'd like you to spend it. But not officially part of the law itself.
So the legislature, not happy.
Understatement of the year.
They cry foul, arguing that the governor had way overstepped his bounds. The whole thing landed straight in the Florida Supreme Court's lap.
High stakes, fast track.
Then it went down to a trial court, which sided with the legislature, and then back up to the Florida Supreme Court for the final word. And they agreed with the lower court, too.
Slam dunk for the legislature.
So at the heart of this whole legal brawl was one big question. What exactly does the Florida Constitution mean when it talks about a specific appropriation?
Right, because that phrase is the key to the governor's veto power.
Yeah.
It's all laid out in Article 3, Section 8.
And of course, everyone had a different take on what specific appropriation actually meant in this case.
Oh, absolutely. Governor Martinez, he's over there saying these legislative intent documents are basically glued to the appropriations themselves.
Like they're practically part of the law.
And since they're part of the law, he gets to veto them, right? That was his logic.
But the legislature, different story. They're like, hold on a second. These memos, they're just suggestions.
Exactly. Not legally binding, just the legislature's hopes and dreams for how the money gets spent.
So, who's right? Enter the legal heavyweight. The Florida Supreme Court. And luckily, they had a playbook to go off of.
Right. They had a case from 1980 called Brown v. Firestone. That one set a really clear definition for this whole specific appropriation thing.
Ah, precedent. The lawyer's best friend.
Basically, Brown v. Firestone said a specific appropriation is the smallest amount of money set aside for one specific purpose. It's the most detailed level you can get to when you're talking about money being allocated.
Okay, so the governor can only veto a whole chunk of money for a specific purpose, not cherry-pick pieces of it based on some memo.
That's the gist. Those intent documents. Interesting, maybe, but not the law.
And the court was really firm on that.
Absolutely. The Florida Supreme Court's reasoning was solid. They basically said, look, there's a process here, and it matters. You can't just conjure money out of thin air without following the rules.
Like the Constitution's got rules for a reason.
You got it. They even laid it out plain and simple. Money can only be appropriated through a bill enacted with constitutional formalities. No cutting corners.
So no backroom deals, no sneaky memos. If you want to spend money, it's got to go through the whole song and dance.
Exactly. And then there's the second big point they hammered home. Intent versus the actual signed law.
Yeah, just because the legislature wants something doesn't automatically make it law.
The court even called those intent documents directory, not mandatory. They're like a guidebook, not a rule book.
Agencies can use them as a reference, but they don't have the power to bind the governor.
That's a really important distinction.
And they put it in such a powerful way. The legislature can't give force of law to something it refuses to enact.
Boom. Mic drop moment right there.
Even if everyone knows what the legislature wants, if it doesn't go through the whole official process, it's just not law.
Exactly. And the governor can't veto what's not officially there.
And one of the sources we read actually used a great analogy to explain this. They said, veto power is like editing a contract. You can delete a whole paragraph that's like vetoing a whole line item, but you can't just go in and change words based on some rough draft.
Right. The final signed contract is what matters.
So what does all this mean?
Yeah.
Well, Martinez v. Florida legislature. It's basically a masterclass in the separation of powers. It's a big win for the legislature and a clear message about the limits of executive power, especially when it comes to money.
The legislature gets to decide how the state spends its money. The governor can't just rewrite that based on some internal memos.
And it also forced the legislature to up their game. No more vague language or relying on side documents. They have to be crystal clear in the actual budget bill itself.
Right. No loopholes.
So for all you legal eagles out there, this case really hammers home the importance of the formal legislative process. It's not just a bunch of stuffy rules. It's about checks and balances, ensuring that no one branch gets to call all the shots.
And it really makes you think about the relationship between the branches, you know, how they push and pull against each other to maintain that balance.
And even more importantly, it forces us to really dig into the how of lawmaking. It's not enough to know what the law says. You got to understand how it got there, how the sausage gets made, so to speak.
It's messy and complicated, but fascinating, right?
Exactly. Martinez v. Florida legislature. It's a stark reminder that the process itself is as important as the outcome. So next time you crack open a legal case, think about the journey, the steps, the back and forth that led to that final decision. It's all part of the story.
And sometimes it's the most interesting part of the story.
Until next time. Keep diving deep, everyone.
And stay curious.